Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Glass or Clay?
Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Let us listen to God's word for us. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now all of you from your evil way and amend your ways and your doing. But they say, it is no use. We will follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil will. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson this morning comes to us from Romans chapter 9. Perhaps Paul had these words of Jeremiah in mind as he wrote these words. But who indeed are you, a human being, to argue with God? Will what is molded say to the one who molds it, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use? Amen, and let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the good potter. We, the clay in the master's hand. And so now as we reflect upon this speaking of your word, may my words bring honor and glory to you, and may the thoughts of our hearts shape us and form us in such a way that we may follow hard after you. For these and all things we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Perhaps like many of you, Kristen and I have explored the height and the depth, the length and the breadth of our Netflix subscription during this pandemic season. Some shows and series we have thoroughly enjoyed, would readily recommend, others not so much. One we have discovered more recently and have really enjoyed is called Blown Away. It is a competition show based on 10 glass blowers who in each episode are asked to produce a unique and original piece of blown glass, which then are judged, with one of the artists being identified as the best in the show and another being sent home. I should mention, we know nothing about glass blowing, although it dates back to the Roman era, perhaps even before. Glass is simply made up of sand and soda ash and limestone and the addition of some color, which then is mixed and melted into a liquid state in furnaces reaching up to 2,000 degrees. The molten glass is then dipped out on the end of long blow pipes, which, as the name implies, the artist uses to blow, to exhale, not inhale, into this mass of liquid glass, which is then shaped and molded with tools and blow torches as it grows in shape and expands. And in this process, the glass quickly cools and hardens. And so the artist repeatedly has to place it back into another kind of furnace called a glory hole, a mere 1800 degrees, which then re-softens the glass sufficiently that it might be shaped and molded until it is finally put into what is called an annealer, a kind of kiln, which gradually reduces the temperature of the glass without it cracking. The show is aptly named. I mean, we were blown away watching this process and the pieces they produce in a matter of mere hours, which are stunningly magnificent. Even those voted off the show. However, we discovered one of the most interesting and heartbreaking aspects of working with this material is how fragile it is. At any point in the process, a simple movement, an incidental touch, a sudden change in temperature reduces a masterpiece into shattered piles of shard. Such is the nature of working with glass. Now, I'd like you to keep that image in mind for a moment as I tell you about another experience that I had when I was in high school. I attended a Fellowship of Christian Athletes National Conference in Fort Collins, Colorado. Throughout the week, there were many different speakers. One in particular was a weightlifter named Paul Anderson. He was an Olympic medalist. He was a two-time national and world champion weightlifter. He was at one point named the strongest man in the world. He stood before that gathering of some 1,000-plus young athletes and performed incredible feats of strength. At one point, he invited 5 or 6 of the largest athletes to come and sit on a table up on the stage. Then he got under the table and lifted it up. We were all amazed at what he was able to do, but what I remember most vividly was the incredibly simple message he gave after he demonstrated his incredible strength. He pointed at this enamored crowd of young athletes and said, "If I need Jesus Christ, so do you." Duly noted by this 125-pound, not very athletic high schooler. Another speaker that week, though, gave an equally memorable message in a very different way. He was a potter. Sitting at his wheel, he described the art of shaping and forming clay. We watched as the spinning clay rose and fell, expanded and contracted in his hand, responsive to the slightest touch of his fingers. There was not a sound in that auditorium as we watched him fashion a magnificent chalice out of what was once an ill-formed little lump of clay. But then there was an auditory gasp as he took that beautifully formed piece and threw it on the floor. Why would he do that? Why would he destroy such a beautifully crafted piece of art? But then we watched in silence again as he took that same mass of clay, threw it back on his wheel, reshaped and reformed it. Both of those images left an indelible impression on my mind and on my faith, which of course they did if I remember them still all these years later. Recalled the saying, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." In a very similar way, the prophet Jeremiah tells of going to the house of a potter one day, directed there by the Lord. He watched as the artisan worked the wheel, shaping and forming the clay in his hands, keeping and firing some of those pieces he made, destroying and reshaping still others. And using that object lesson, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as the potter has done, just as the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel?" Clearly the potter, in this analogy God, has mastery over the material he uses. And that potter intends every piece of his chosen material to be shaped and formed in such a way that later it can be used and useful. But there's something very interesting in this example he uses. The clay, the chosen material, also seems to have some agency, some responsibility, some ability to respond or not to the master's touch. The intention of the master, of course, be it for the nation of Israel or for Judah or for any one of us as individuals or for us collectively as the church, is to make us useful for the work of his kingdom. The Lord's desire for each and every one of us is good, it is pure, it's beneficial, but we, as his chosen material, also have some responsibility. The ability to respond, or not, to the master's touch. Either to be shaped and formed in a way that he intends, or to reject and rebel against it. Interestingly enough, it is the material which determines the outcome. It is the potter's desire, of course, to make something that is beautiful and useful. But God will also honor the request of those who choose to be disobedient and rebellious, even as he will continue to work at reshaping those who repent and respond to his reforming touch. Even a destroyed piece can be remade and restored. A lump of clay, a nation, an individual. So the question I pose with you today, the question I believe that each of us must ask and ultimately answer for ourselves is, am I glass or am I clay in the master's hand? Do I respond to the master's touch, and how? Am I like glass, which at first is responsive and formable, but now have I become too brittle, too rigid, too inflexible, too fragile, too set and determined in my own ways to be reworked and reformed? Am I shattered by the slightest touch or change which takes me out of my comfort zone? And am I so set in my ways, so right and rigid in my understanding of the ways of God that I have become utterly useless in the work of his kingdom? Good only to be put on a shelf and admired, as one Southern preacher put it, saved, satisfied, and stuck? Believe me when I say I ask these questions of myself as much as I do of any of you. Or am I like clay? Still malleable, still formable, shapeable, adaptable, still responsive to the master's touch, still open to the movement and the breath of the Holy Spirit, melting me, molding me, filling me, using me in the work of his kingdom. When Paul echoes Jeremiah's example in his letter to the Romans, he writes, "But who indeed are you, a human being, to argue with God? Will what is molded say to the one who molds it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use? Am I clay-like enough to be grateful and honored that I have been chosen by the potter at all to be shaped and formed into an instrument of his use, whether it be for special or ordinary? Oh, to be used by God, even once in a lifetime, is life's greatest joy and honor, but apparently the decision as to how we are usable is ours to make. Am I glass? Too fragile to be used or useful? Or am I clay, ready and willing to be shaped and formed in any way God sees fit? Who am I to say, 'Why have you made me like this?' Whether for special or common use, I just want to be used by God. In his seminal writing, The Institutes of the Christian Religion, John Calvin writes, "We are not our own. Therefore, neither our reason nor our will should predominate in our deliberations and actions. We are not our own. Therefore, let us not propose it our end to seek what may be expedient for us according to the flesh. We are not our own. Therefore, let us, as far as possible, forget ourselves and all things that are ours. On the contrary, we are God's. To him, therefore, let us live and die. We are God's. Therefore, let his wisdom and will preside in all our actions. We are God's. Towards him, therefore, as our only legitimate end, let every part of our lives be directed." The seal of John Calvin, this incredible 16th century thinker and theologian, whose writings and work continue to shape and inform so much of our understanding of the Protestant Reformed tradition still today. The seal of John Calvin is a hand holding a heart that is on fire. And around that heart is written, "My heart I give thee, O Lord, eagerly and sincerely. My heart I give thee, O Lord, eagerly and sincerely." May that be our prayer as well this day, yours and mine. Because the question we have to ask is my heart still ignitable for God? Am I glass or am I clay in the Master's hand? Amen. And let us pray.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Lord, hear our prayer.